for putting in baby bottles and sippy cups will not include bisphenol A going forward. Some good news to report on the green front, and that is coming from Sacramento. President Obama may not have turned out to be as green a president as we thought, but I've always known, because I grew up here, that Jerry Brown is a green leader, and having him back as our governor is only going to mean good things going forward on the environmental front, and that is environmental health issues, first and foremost. And some good news to report, always like to bring that to you. And to help us with this story, we have Renee Sharp on the line. She's with one of my favorite green groups, and that's the Environmental Working Group. She's director of the California office here, and I believe also a senior scientist. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So happy to have some good news to report. Is this just going to be a ban on BPA in bottles and cups that toddlers and infants use? Overall, what is the status of BPA overall? But first, let's talk about what just was signed just last evening.
Right. Well, we're incredibly happy. This has been a very, very long fight for all of us. It's taken 5 years to get here, and finally, we can say that as of July of next year, there will not be any BPA in baby bottles or sippy cups sold in California. So that is thrilling. And it's also significant because it actually sets a level at which BPA-free is kind of defined. So there's other states that have similar laws, but you know what you can, how much BPA you can have in a product is undefined. And in California, we'll actually say, okay, you can't have more than 0.1 parts per billion BPA in a baby bottle, which is really significant.
What about cans, soup cans? And
so, yeah, this is definitely one step in a much larger fight. There is still quite a bit of BPA used in food cans for adults and for children, also in infant formula cans, and actually cash register receipts. This is something that surprised us all, and there's been new research coming out just in the last couple of weeks about this, that basically most, if not all, of the receipts that you're handling every day have pretty high levels of BPA on them, and the BPA can actually absorb through your skin into your bloodstream.
And that probably goes for ATM receipts as well, I would think. It seems to be the same type of thing.
I don't think so. No, it's these thermal paper receipts. So it's the ones, mostly the ones that you sign. That's kind of a different question. But
it's
not every receipt that you get, but a lot of the ones that you sign in particular. The exposure is quite high, especially for workers. So most of our exposure daily comes probably through food.
Well, if there's been this acknowledgement that this is not good for infants and toddlers, should it be a big stretch to say that this is not good for any humans? And this signature by Governor Brown should go a long way towards the broader effort across the country and also just across more food products packages?
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, we are concerned about effects in adults. I mean, we are more concerned, I would say, about children just because their brains and their bodies are still developing, and BPA is an endocrine-disrupting hormone. So, of course, the endocrine system is particularly important to stay intact for children and infants. But adults, we are also impacted by endocrine-disrupting compounds. And, in fact, we do have some studies that point to that for BPA. There was one landmark study in particular that came out of the UK a couple of years ago that showed that people with elevated levels of BPA were more likely to have certain kinds of diseases. So absolutely, we do think that BPA should be phased out in products that people are going to be exposed to for both adults and children. And we've been heartened to see that there's definitely been some steps in that direction, or at least some changes in stance. It used to be that the Food and Drug Administration basically said, oh, FDA is totally safe, and now they've changed their stance somewhat and said, okay, we are actually concerned. EPA has said they're concerned. We've had a number of different scientific bodies take stances. American Medical Association, the Endocrine Society. Yeah, I could go on and on. So we are seeing a shift, but we need to have it happen faster for sure.
Absolutely. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, most people are heretofore not aware of. I mean, as I mentioned in the opening, my daughter is 16, so you can do the math. The very bottles, the baby bottles that they always show a picture of when they do the story about BPA being in bottles, mm-hmm, is the one I gave my daughter, who I love more than life, you know, 2-3 times a day. I wasn't able to breastfeed for very long. And I cringe, literally. I have a visceral reaction every time I see that, that I didn't know that. And it really is. Did the company that made these products, or these companies, have they known, like, back 15, 20 years ago that this was a problem and they didn't tell us, or were they innocent in terms of not having all the facts until, you know, years and years of testing unfolded?
Well, you know, the amazing thing is that BPA was discovered to be a synthetic estrogen back in the 1930s, and it was only later. In fact, they were looking at it to see if it could be used for medical reasons because of that, and they decided not to. But then they later discovered, oh, we can use this in plastic. So, in fact, it was known to be an endocrine disruptor, you know, for many decades. I would say that, you know, the evidence has definitely been growing in the last, 10 to 15 years. I would say, yes, I do think that companies should have taken more initiative way back when. But at the same time, it's probably only as of late where you've had just this overwhelming amount of evidence, which becomes so clear. Okay. But what this really speaks to, really, is fundamental problems in the way that we regulate chemicals in this country. Chemicals do not have to be tested for safety before they're put on the market. And this is something that very few people realize, and it's a fundamental problem. There's just no way that we will ever have safe products until we fix that system. And there have been some efforts to do so. It's a very hard fight to win. The major federal law, the Toxic Substances Control Act, was passed in 1976 and has never been updated. It's the only major federal environmental law that's never been updated, and it's very politically hard to do so, and luckily we are seeing a little bit of movement on the Safe Chemicals Act, which is this act that's been put forward this year and the last several years to actually update this law called TSCA. But we need a lot more effort to make it really happen.
And when we see that there's over 200 chemicals that newborns have been exposed to that they detect in the umbilical cord and in the breast milk of mothers, is BPA one of them? Has that actually been singled out? And then might this have anything to do with the fact that we're seeing girls go through puberty at a, you know, increasingly young age?
Very good question. So yes, BPA has been detected in cord blood. And in terms of whether this might be one of the reasons why kids might be going through puberty earlier, that was actually a study that was kind of linking BPA to early puberty. Was one of the first studies to come out, quite a number of years ago, that really raised people's concerns. But it's not just BPA. I mean, BPA is kind of a poster child for really a much wider set of chemicals that we're all being exposed to, including our children, that are endocrine disrupting. And we really need to deal with the whole problem. And one chemical at a time, as much as we are thrilled by this law and think it's incredibly important and have worked so hard, we also realize that, you know, doing this work one chemical at a time, it's not going to get us there. It's not going to get us to a point where we can really say, okay, we're protecting our children.
And even though this is called, I believe, the legislation that he signed last night, the Toxin-Free Infants and Toddlers Act, does it cover anything besides BPA, this particular piece
just
of legislation?
Just BPA, yeah.
Okay,
A few years ago when we started this effort, we actually were looking at a broader set of chemicals, but it's we had to kind of narrow our focus to get this passed. So,
and do you think as California goes, so will the rest of the country as far as taking this on?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that in this case, it's more than the opposite. There's now nine or ten other states that have taken action before California. We were the first state to have a bill dealing with BPA in baby bottles that really kind of had a shot that really got anywhere in a legislature. But we had a much harder time passing this bill. It was a very hard fight. It has been for 5 years. In other states, many of them, the passage of their bills were unanimous, bipartisan. We're hoping that more of the country will follow suit. But in this case, California is a leader today. But in many ways, we were really a follower on this issue.
And there might even be a triple hit in, you know, kids like my daughter's age, where if, you know, heaven forbid she was exposed to that many chemicals through me when she was born, they didn't test back then, but we can only, you know, presume and fear that was the case, exposed to BPA in the baby bottles for 2 years, and then she went to a camp that for 8 years insisted that they bring those bottles, those large oversized plastic bottles, that had BPA in them. And, that's a triple hit right there, and she's only 16, and obviously I'm talking about, you know, all kids in that age range that might have, you know, been exposed to this. And who knows what else we're going to discover in the coming years. I guess that's sort of the point, is we need to test these things before they're tested, you know, like we're a bunch of guinea pigs out on the public, especially children.
Exactly. You couldn't have said it better.
So this is good news. Let's celebrate it so we can at least be glad that progress is being made. Governor Brown really is a champion for environmental health and rights to be, you know, the precautionary principle, isn't he?
Yes, he signed this bill, AB 1319, and he signed it in a suite of about, you know, 20 other bills that dealt with child, basically kind of protecting children and children's health in some fashion. So we really can say that Governor Brown has, you know, has been a champion for children's health and continues to be. So we're really thrilled.
Okay.
You know, I would say that, you know, he hasn't quite done everything we would want him to do in terms of the environment. You know, we definitely disagree with him in some cases. But for the most part, are really happy to see him really, you know, putting the health of children and the environment before a lot of the rhetoric about jobs and economy, when it's really not an either or. It's really an and. We can't have people, you know, working and being healthy. We can't have a healthy economy without a healthy population, and that's what this bill is really about.
Great, and we just have another minute or two, so tell me, Renee, what else the Environmental Working Group is working on? What's up next? You guys never fail to be very productive and be doing what
pending.
The Environmental Protection Agency should be doing, by the way.
Yeah, well, speaking of California, we have another bill that's pending, AB 591, and it is really, or will be, hopefully, a really landmark bill. So people have probably heard of hydraulic fracturing, which is a really hot issue around the country, especially in the Marcellus Shale back in the eastern U.S. But very few people realize that fracking is actually happening in California, and it's been happening for many years, and it is not monitored, is not tracked, is not regulated in any way, which is one of the reasons why we haven't known it's been happening. So this bill by Assemblymember Bob Wachowski, AB 591, would really, for the first time, begin to look at the issue. It would put it on the map, and it would require the state to actually monitor where fracking is happening, how much water is being used, where that water is coming from, what chemicals are being used, what traces are being used in the process, and a couple other things. So we think this is really important. Hydraulic fracturing is this process where oil companies inject, under very, very high pressure, chemicals in sand, and many of those chemicals are known to be carcinogenic or have other significant health concerns related to them. So, and we do know that this process can contaminate groundwater. And of course, you know, there's other concerns too with, you know, spills of chemicals or explosions or whatnot that have also happened. So we really think that California needs to get a handle on this issue and begin to look at it. And this bill would hopefully, hopefully do that.
Well, as any state, if any state can do it, California can or should. And thank you for all the great work that you're doing at Environmental Working Group. I've been speaking with Renee Sharp with the California Office of EWG and talking about this landmark legislation signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown last evening that will keep California kids safer and healthier by banning BPA in baby bottles and sippy cups. And hopefully it will go much beyond that as far as a wider application to products and also other states around this great and hopefully getting greener country of ours.